Message, M, 015, Dreams and Visions. Given by Cecil J. Duseal, 9th of November, 1970.
Talk to you about dreams and visions.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And before that, he had been saying to me, Romans 6, everybody will have dreams and visions. Everybody will have dreams and visions from the various realms from which dreams and visions come. Everybody must recognize that they need to submit to a body, to a people, in order to have the right dreams and visions, that they can help the people of God. For everybody gets dreams and visions from all three realms, but we have got to learn how to work ourselves into the realm where we can get a perfect word from God. Amen. Because what I'm going to do tonight is a kind of Bible study. We will just read the scriptures, and those scriptures that need a little explanation, we explain them. But we'll just read 30 or 40 pieces of scripture, and as God leads us, we explain. Nevertheless, before that, let us read the first few verses of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid that we should continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And he goes on to speak of the death of the old man, the taking of the body to the cross, the identification of the Son of God with Jesus. I mean you, the Son of God, with Jesus, the first Son who died that the rest of sons might not die, but that the rest of sons might live. And then he went on to show, as we see, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That we walk in a new realm of life because we enter into a new realm of death. In Christ, through Christ, we are dead. Now I'm saying this to say this, that no gift in the Spirit will operate in its beauty and in its power if we do not walk in sanctification. Amen. I remember preaching sanctification to an end time group, and they looked down on me to scorn. Well, one of these days, by the grace of God, I'm going to preach salvation to you. Amen. Amen. Because it is absolutely necessary for us to have our foundations properly laid. Amen. And to continue to be conscious of a foundation that can be undermined. Amen. Sanctification is an absolute necessity for purified operation in the gift. If you walk in an unsanctified way, your gifts will be mixed continuously. Though all of us have mixed gifts, and we have got to dissociate the wrong from the right in our daily operation. There are some visions I have, I don't talk. There are some I don't put much value on, because I don't know where they're coming from. My own mind is an entity that works so powerfully that at times my mind could tell me something instead of God. But it is in the body of Christ that we find this kind of sanctification goes on. We are cleansed by the operation which we carry on amongst ourselves in the Lord. That is the reason I did not remain in the Pentecostal church where I was pastoring, because I could not remain there and manifest the gifts which God had given me. For their rules and their regulations were against it, and where there was not rule and regulation against it, there was so much block in my congregation that I could not manipulate the gift which God had given me to use for the body of Christ. For no gift of God is unto yourself, but every gift of God is for the body and to the body. Amen. And your ministry is not unto yourself, neither is it unto the world, but it is unto the body of Christ. So then we are made ministers of reconciliation. Amen. To reconcile or to save that which was lost. And when you figure what was lost, if you notice these words God uses, they are peculiar the way God would put them. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Ask yourself the question, what was lost? Man was lost, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus has got to save him, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And so, if God saves one and doesn't save the other, then in due time he's got to save the other because he saved the one. If he saves the other and doesn't save the one, he's got to save the one because he saved the other. And so the spirit and the soul and the body are to be brought together in one being under salvation. Therefore, all your operation in your gift is an imperfect realm. We are operating in an imperfect realm. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is just part will be done away with. And the apostles will be done away with. The prophets will be done away with. The teachers, the evangelists, the pastors will be done away with. And God will be just Jesus and God all in all. Amen. So the gifts of the Spirit that work in you are to work in you till they bring a perfect realm. And your gifts can work from perfection to perfection. That is, don't be satisfied with the working of a gift. For any time the gift begins to work, it will work until it works greater works. That's what the gift is for. Now let's turn our Bibles to the 12th chapter of Romans. Look at this first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He was speaking to brethren who were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was beseeching them by the mercies of God that they present their bodies a living sacrifice. Why? God cannot use an unclean vessel. Amen. An unclean vessel is a vessel that is not yet washed. Amen. A vessel that is washed, it continues in cleanliness. It doesn't like uncleanness. Dirt disturbs such a vessel. So God wants us to continue in cleanliness in order that our visions and dreams might work right. Amen. So let me read for you the realms of these visions. Let's first of all check 1 Corinthians 12, the first verse also. It said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't talking about mouth just by saying it with your mouth. For some demons did say that Jesus is Lord. You remember the demons in the man in Gadara? They said Jesus was Lord, but it was word of mouth. They knew he was Lord, and they said it, but they were not worshiping him as Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's begin upon the visions and dreams. We take our first scripture from Genesis 46 and 2. Genesis 46 verse 2. And God spake unto Israel the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Jacob and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Praise God. God spoke to Jacob in a dream. Now let's take the next scripture, Numbers 12 and 6. Numbers 12, verse 6. And he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, let me explain something here. Praise God. No. Yes, praise God. We have three realms of vision. Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to draw it on a board here that we can understand what I'm talking about. Visions come from God. Visions come from soul, which looks like God sometimes. Visions come from the enemy. Both visions and dreams come from the soul. Both visions and dreams come from God, and both visions and dreams come from the enemy. Then we have three realms of God's operation and dealing with humanity. God speaks to man in three ways. Let's take the last way here, a vision. This should be N. Vision, dreams, signs. Visions, dreams, signs. That's one realm in which God speaks to man. Then we have face to face. That's the next realm, and that is by word of mouth, by God speaking to you that you could hear him with your ears. You see, he called it apparently with his own voice. You hear a voice. Many of us have that experience. Sometime or the other in your life, you do have these experiences. The last realm that God is showing us is motivation. From within. Amen. So that is 1, 2, 3. Now, this is what God says in chapter 12 here of Numbers. He says, I speak to my prophets in visions and dreams. That is the way that I deal with my prophets. Speak to them with signs and visions and dreams. That's in the physical realm. Sight. They see the thing and they speak what they have seen. Then, he says, there's another realm that I deal with Moses, who is a special man to me, so I speak to him face to face. But if you turn your Bible to Hebrews 1, verse 1, you will see that there is even a third way in which God is dealing with his people in this hour. Amen. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now God is now speaking by Jesus. Now when you ask yourself the question, how does Jesus speak? How does Jesus speak? I thought Jesus would speak to me in a voice. Jesus is part of you. And he said that we may be one. Hallelujah. Even as God the Father and the Son are one. Now when Jesus become a part of you, how does the parts of you speak? Or how do the different parts of you speak to you? Don't you see? They speak within you. You get a hurt on this finger, and immediately your body feels it. It speaks in your own nerves. Your nervous system communicates to the brain, and you feel in the very spot of the hurt. Amen. And so, just as your body communicates to your mind, so God is saying that he speaketh by his Son. Your bodies are the temple of the living God, and the Son of God within you is beginning to speak within you and to bring forth a life, a motivation from within, that you move in God. So I'm trying to say something here. What I'm trying to say, that visions and dreams are good. It's part of God's operation. It's God's will for his people in this hour. Yet we are moving out of the realm of visions and dreams even to a surer realm, and yet to a yet surer realm. Don't sit down in visions and dreams and spend your whole life upon visions and dreams. You'll fall down. Because visions and dreams can come from three realms. And if you are a people who trust in visions and dreams and trust so much in visions and dreams, one day you're going to take a wrong vision and think it's right. Amen. I'll tell you a story when I go on a little further. But I think we are going to get this message tonight. Amen. So then, let us take Psalm 89 and 19. Psalm, I said 89:19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Praise God. Let's take Isaiah 28 and 7. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way. Through strong drink they err in vision and stumble in judgment. That it is possible to err in vision. Job 33:15. Job 33:15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Sorry, we should take verse 14 and 15. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon his bed. That is God. Then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. In other words, God, because of our mind being so taken up with various things, God speaks to us when we are asleep. Amen. Hallelujah. Very often he would prefer if he could speak to us when we are awake. But he has to speak to us when we are asleep, some of us, because we are too busy. Take Ecclesiastes 5:3-7. Ecclesiastes 5:3-7. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. We take the first 7, 3 and 7. For in the multitude of dreams are many words. There are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. We find a soulish dream. Soulish dream, Ecclesiastes 3 and 5. soulish dream come into man's soul through the business that he has in the day. So we have got to be careful of the dreams we have. We can't just blindly follow dreams and visions. God has put dreams and visions in in our realm to confirm words that come from God. Dreams and visions are not a means. Did I put three? Sorry, I meant 5-3. 5-3 and 7. We cannot follow dreams as our directing force, for here we would enter into divinity, because the spirit of divinity is akin or looks very near to the spirit of prophecy. Amen. You could go to some people tonight who has nothing to do with God, yet they could tell you things that will happen tomorrow. They could read into your future and they would tell you some things that are true. So therefore, we've got to be careful of divinity as against prophecy. Let's take Lamentations 2 and 9. Praise God. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 9. Somebody who finds it, read it for me, please.
The gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord.
Amen. So we find visions coming from God being shut off in Lamentations 2 and 9. That brings us to the area of what happened to Ahab, king of Israel. Ahab wanted to go to war to fight against the Syrians, and so God felt that Ahab's cup was full and that he was about to bring judgment on Ahab. But Ahab was smart and he decided to outsmart God. So what he did was to use God's prophet to tell him what to do. And so he would always have the prophets of God as a convenience. Now, if you notice that God will not allow you to use prophecy in the church, in this church, as divination. If you try to use prophecy as divination, it's going to backfire on you. And then you are going to go away and say the prophets are lying. Well, what happens in the case of Ahab is that God called a conference in heaven and he said, what shall we do so that Ahab may go to Gilead, Ramoth Gilead, and fall? And so he called a lying spirit. And the lion spirit volunteered. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I will go down and be a lion spirit in the mouth of God's prophet. Amen. Now, he went down and he overshadowed 400 prophets. That must be a pretty powerful spirit. And he overshadowed 400 prophets and all of them begin to prophesy. He said, go up and prosper. Go up and prosper. Go up and prosper. And so the king was convinced. Yet here comes a little man who was not overshadowed by them, but was overshadowed by the Lord. And this one man brought a prophecy, and the man was arrested and thrown in prison. And Ahab promised him, when I come back, Micah, I'm going to kill you. He said, well, okay, if you come back, you kill me. And God killed him by an arrow. And as you know the story, the 400 prophets of God were wrong and one prophet was right. So here we find that it is not impossible for prophets to be wrong. In my own experience, I'll give you a story. I usually get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. Therefore, the devil knew exactly when I would get up. So one morning, I got up at 3 and I heard a tapping. Just like that. On the rail of my bed. I see some praying to listen, what could this be? And the tapping went on. I grabbed the rail of the bed. Nothing happened. Nothing. And so he got my attention. Whatever spirit was trying to get my mind and attention, he got my attention from God. I began to get fearful. What's this? What could this be? Wandering. And when you are wandering, it is a very weak position you are. And so he began to speak to me face to face. This voice said, my son. And the voice sounded to me exactly like Jesus. I used to hear the voice of God. And I thought that was the highest realm a man could go, to hear God's voice speaking to him face to face. And so he spoke. And he gave me instruction, pardon me, as to what to do. And I was about ready just to go off and do all that he was. I was so glad that God was speaking to me, brethren, and I was so happy to know that I was important enough for God to come and talk to me again as he used to. Brethren, in the midst of a sentence, a voice shouted, Satan, you're a liar from the beginning. And he cut off the sentence in two and went. Boy, I was ashamed. I knelt down. I beg God pardon, for I was taken. That's the truth. I was completely deceived. And I asked God's pardon and asked him to protect the people and the church from this sort of thing. For anything that happened to me as a pastor, I know it would happen to the church. So I rushed down to the church, and there comes the prophet to meet me. She said, Elder, she said, God has given me a word for you. Brother, she was so high in that word that I couldn't even get in a word. When I did get in a word, I got in the wrong word. I said, it's the devil. Amen. You know, because I was so shocked. The very words that the enemy had told me, verbatim, she began to repeat them to me. And I got excited. And I said, it's the devil. Oh, God. She just withdrew from me like I was some sort of servant. And she said, I knew it. She said, he told me. He told me you wouldn't accept it. So Satan set a trap for us. Never let anything come between you and your brethren. Any word that you're going to get so powerful in the spirit that is coming between you and your brethren, it's not of God. You hear what I'm telling you? Because immediately, it wasn't God's word again. You are a prophet. You have God's word. You don't have to fight to defend God's word. If the word is of God, you don't have to defend it. It will defend itself. And so, this young lady withdrew from me and she said, I know this is your pet. I know I have touched some of your pets. She said, because I touched your pets, you wouldn't accept. The Lord told me so. He said, you weren't going to accept the word. And brother, I knew how wise and smart the devil was. For after God had rebuked him and he failed with me, he went right down to the brethren, knowing that I had already known the word. He told them that I won't accept the word. For he knew I wouldn't accept it because I knew it was the devil. If I was pretty smart, I'd beat him. I hadn't said a word. I'd say, well, praise God, let's go into it. And then I would go and examine the things, because what the devil said, he went into some people's private lives and began to tell us what they were and what they used to be. And it was easy to check up and find that he was wrong. But he knew he couldn't reach that stage. And so I fell right in the devil's trap. He smashed that church to pieces. Smashed it to pieces with the prophets. And the prophecies, boy, while prophecies began to come. Oh God, when I'm telling you about prophets, they were good prophets. There were people who were well anointed. You could come through that door and they tell you what God is saying. Right in your heart, the things men come through there, sinners, and they are brought down under the power of the Spirit, and they bow down and said, truly God is in this place. Amen. And those prophets, they just got torn up just by that one issue. They began to listen to the devil, and they didn't know the difference between the voice of the devil and the voice of God. And we were smashed to pieces. I am praying, and I know this won't happen to you, but this is the experience that I wanted to give you. Now, let's read another scripture here. Did I give you Jeremiah 23 and 28?
No.
Jeremiah 23 and 28. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Now, this is saying that it is possible for your heart to prophesy. You have such a strong desire that you come out with a prophet. That's what the scripture says here. It is possible. Jeremiah 23, 28. I did read 26. 23, 26. That's peculiar. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word. For faithfully, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. Amen. He said he was comparing a dream to the word of the Lord. He said a dream is like the chaff to the wheat. A dream to the word of God is like the chaff to the wheat. Praise God. Daniel 4 and 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was a stone for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Now, can you imagine God giving a dream and then providing a person to interpret the dream? Ask yourself the question, why didn't God just give the person in the first place, give him the whole thing as it ought to be? You see, God was dealing with a man who he wanted to subject the man to Daniel's ministry. Let's go back over it. God gives dreams to people that are like jigsaw puzzles. And then God go over and give one of you the interpretation of the dream. You don't wonder to yourself, why didn't he just tell me? Amen. But you'd be too independent. God wants us to function as a body. In this case, God wanted to get Nebuchadnezzar under the ministry of Daniel. And the only way God could get Nebuchadnezzar under the ministry of Daniel was to give Nebuchadnezzar dreams that he couldn't understand and that Daniel would interpret. I mean, this is a classic case when God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream and took it away from him. I'm sure I had a good dream, something very impressive, something important, and I can't remember it. And he got those wise men to tell him the meaning of the dream. They said, all right, you are diviners, you are sorcerers, you are doing a great lot of heavy work in the spirit, and you claim you are higher than everybody else. Tell me what the dream is. They couldn't tell him. He said, I'll kill every one of you. And he gave the order to kill every one of his wise men because they could not tell the dream. He said, but nobody ever asked that on earth. We are not God. It's only a God that could tell thee. Then comes Daniel. I'll tell you the dream. Amen. You see, so God did all that to show all of them how useless their religion was. And this is what God is doing. You know what I've seen done over in Florida? The leader of the Holy Spirit teaching mission, who was slightly skeptical at the time of dreams and visions, and he had a vision. And it was worrying. And it pertained unto his own life. And somebody gave him an interpretation that would really turn him upside down. And he had to apply to somebody from this group to come and give him, and God sent the man to give him the interpretation. And the man went straight down, found him, gave him the interpretation of the dream. And he was so frightened. But what it did, it brought them together. Amen. And that interpretation delivered the man so that he launched the Holy Spirit teaching mission. And well, for what it is today, it was because somebody from here gave him the right vision and put him on the right road. So here we have the situation. God is using visions among you all to bring you together. There is no vision separating you from God. If there is a vision and it tells you that your sister or your brother in the Lord has turned into a monkey or a howling cat or somehow a vicious beast, something is wrong with that vision, because all the while in all the churches people are always dreaming about other people and making them out to be some wretched animal. It's a simple thing. Once somebody had a vision that she saw her brethren in the Lord as three monkeys. And this is the sort of thing God doesn't do. God came to speak to Mary, and he wanted to tell Mary about Jesus to be born. And after he told Mary, you know what he told her? He told her Jesus was to be born as a son of God and that he should reign and rule the nation. He never told her about the death and the suffering and the agony of the cross. Amen. Yes. He just gave her the good part of it and he left out the bad part. So God encourages us through visions and dreams. Now, I don't want you to sleep. So let's go on. Let's read Joel 2:28. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. It says here, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. Amen. So it was God's will that in the coming of the Holy Ghost, vision should come back to the church. Amen. For there was a time when the vision died. But he was promising a renewal of the vision. Matthew 2:12-22. This is what I was talking about a while ago. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Three wise men who came to see Jesus to find the baby, Herod wanted to use them again, and God warned them in a dream not to go back the way to tell Herod where the child was, but to go in another way. Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So God spoke to Joseph in a dream, even Joseph, the father or the guardian of Jesus Christ, his son. God spoke to him in a dream. I want you to know that we are not going to despise dreams and visions, but we must move through this realm, receive them, have them in their own divine order, use them as God gives us them, but do not submit ourselves entirely to dreams and visions, for they are in an area where they can be wrong. Matthew 27:19. You find sinners get dreams and visions also. God speaks to sinners in dreams and visions also. Verse 19 says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Amen. That's Pilate's wife got a dream that he should not touch Jesus. Let us check on Jude 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. That's the satanic dream and the satanic vision. Let's check Acts 16. And verse 9. I'm really giving you exercise with your fingers. Acts 16:9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Praise God. So Paul saw a vision that night. And I tell you, visions can be so real that you do not know if it is the real person standing before you or it is a vision. I remember once I had a vision, and it's one of these realities that I can never account for. I was kneeling down in my room praying. I closed the door. Then I was conscious of somebody behind me. And I jumped up out of my prayer. And there I saw a young lady standing in the middle of my room. So I was slightly rude. Said, "What are you doing here?" She said, "Well, I have just come to tell you that I'm going to be married to Brother King." And I got so mad. I just blew my top fist on the ground and said, "You're crazy, man." And I turned around to put on my shoes. And I turned back, she wasn't there. I said, "My God, what's this?" Then I remember I had closed the door. So I went to the door and tried it. It was locked. And I realized that it was the most real vision that I could ever see. I knew it wasn't a vision. It was, she was just there in the room. So I ran over to her home and said to her, she was kind of vexed with me too. She wasn't speaking to me. You know, church vexation sometimes. And so I saw a window upstairs, and I said, I just come to tell you to escape from Brother King. Don't marry him. It's your destruction. God sent me to tell you. If you want to figure how I find out, God told me." And she just stood up there, and I just went away. Well, it was very gratifying to see her escape. But it was some one of those secret affairs that she was just going to get married and kind of whipped against us and didn't tell anybody. And the devil was really leading her into that marriage. Oh boy, Satan had given her visions of it. And she thought it was God. And she was about to go into a marriage that could have killed her. And that brother was not saved. He was fooling around with the saints and Christianity, but he was only doing all this just to, get the best he could to marry and everything like that. And the next thing happened to him, he captured another of the sisters who, she didn't want any word from us and so on. And she had one of the most horrible lives you could ever think of. He would just beat her, and he would just do all that the devil told him to do, and he just lived wickedly, and she didn't have any life at all. So this is what this girl was delivered from. Amen. But God counted her worthy to have sent such a vision to deliver her. So Paul saw a vision like this, a man, and he recognized the man when he saw him in Macedonia, you know. Yes. So let's take Acts 18 and verse 9. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace." Praise God. We find Paul was very fruitful in vision. Take 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which we read already. Oh, no, we didn't read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the whole body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knew it. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. Praise God. He was saying that he was caught up to the third heaven, and he doesn't even know whether it was a vision or it was real. And this is another realm of vision. You see, you have different realms of vision. Some people see visions in black and white. Some, when they go on further, they see visions in color, technicolor visions, bright and vivid. Some people see visions by being part of the vision, and they don't know whether they really were in a vision or were not in a vision. And this is the kind of operation that we are moving into. Amen. Praise God. Now, we took all these already. Praise God. Now, therefore, we find three realms of visions, dreams from God, vision dreams from the soulish realm, the operation of the mind and the desires and the will. And we find one place in Proverbs says, a hungry man, what? Dream it that he eat it. Yes. But when he's awake, he still remains hungry. And therefore, there are soulish visions that can occupy one thought. And you do not know at times whether your visions are soulish or in the realm of the spirit. But there's one way you can be sure: by keeping in the spirit. Getting your mind dissociated from the things of the world, being what you call sanctified. Being sanctified. Because, brethren, I tell you, the worst thing we could have in the body is a prophet that is not sanctified. You haven't got a sanctified mouth, you haven't got sanctified ears, you haven't got sanctified desires, oh God, you haven't got sanctified emotions. You will get dreams and visions, but they will be coming through from various sources, and they will be mixed up so that you cannot operate in a pure realm. God is bringing up a set of prophets in this hour that will realize that their dedication to God, their separation to God, their sanctification to God is absolutely necessary. Amen. Therefore, God speaks through visions and dreams. That is one operation. Then God speaks face to face with men and women. Sometime or the other in your experience in your life, you hear the voice of God. You hear him. You know you hear him. And this is God's second method of speaking to his people. Then there is the other method that God uses, of motivation, what women call woman's intuition. That's the best explanation of what I'm talking about. Woman's intuition. She doesn't know where she got it. She doesn't know. She didn't hear a voice. She didn't see a shape. She didn't see a vision. But brother, she just feels it. And she feels so strongly to do that. It is called woman's intuition. Now, talking about man's intuition. Every woman that is pregnant knows the feeling of having a feeling for something so desperate, so powerful, that she can't resist. She wants so and so to eat. She just wants peanuts now. And that poor husband goes trotting around, finds peanuts in the middle of the night. Amen. And he wants to give her what she wants. Oh, she just feels to eat ice. She wants salt. And these things, you know what I'm talking about? The church being pregnant. The church being pregnant with a man-child that is calling for milk, calling for honey and wine, calling for things that the people leave in their churches. You know why they are leaving their churches? And they don't even know. It's because they are not being fed. They want food. People are longing for the milk and the honey and the wine. Amen. And there's something motivating them. Something from within which is motivating them. Amen. Many a time it happens to me, I go along and I feel a very strong desire to turn in there. I don't know what I'm going in there for. I have no particular desire within myself. I'm just free from all needs or wants, but I have to turn in there. And when you turn in there, you find something in there. That's some reason why God wanted you to turn in there. This is the motivation wherein you and God become one operation. Amen. The Godhead doesn't want only to be your boss, to drive you up and down, to tell you what to do, but he wants that kind of operation where you and himself become such partners that you move like dancers together. Two people dancing together, you don't tell that one, now move your right foot. Come, now move your left foot. Come, now step backward. Now step forward. Oh, you don't do that. But the very swing of your body and the motivation, the other person will make perfect steps with you because they feel what you are feeling in the dance. And that's how people dance together. No, it is that way with God. God is moving in you as a corporate body. He's making out of you an incorporated body so that he will incorporate your soul with himself so much that you will never be able to find you from God. Mix you up. He wants to mix you with God in such a way that you and God will be one operation, one smooth operation. Man and God moving down the street. Amen. Not here comes John, but here comes man and God. Amen. Walking down the street, when the people saw Jesus, he was a little Jew, and I figured that Jesus was nothing to look at. Nothing to look at. The Bible said it. And you know when a Jew looks ordinary, what he looks like. Yes, well, Jesus did not look like a mighty lord or a doctor, and he didn't go strutting down the street. You know, everybody would take him as a king if he had looked like how kings look. The Bible said he had no form nor comeliness that looking upon him you should desire him. Nobody would want him for their king. by looking at him. He was ordinary looking. Ordinary looking. But when he lifted up his eyes and began to speak of God, the blaze of glory would hit men. Amen. The Bible tells me one day he was preaching, and in the midst of the preaching, a woman cried out, "Blessed be the breast upon which thou didst feed." And she began to prophesy to him. She didn't have the spirit, but the spirit from him was emanating the whole crowd, and she just cried out. Amen. People stood there and saw their God. Men were gambling in the church. Money changes, and you know when an atmosphere like that, it was just all greed, and everybody was trying to get how much. And when it comes to a Jew, Jews in their realm, in their marketplaces, they bring this thing here. They said, "Okay, $1. And this other Jews come and say, "I give you 50 cents. And they say, "Okay, all right, I take 75. And they go on and they argue and they argue and they argue. And it's a war. And they have pleasure in this sort of haggling. And this is what was going on in the temple. And men were in the midst of their business, all their money and everything. And here comes Jesus walking. "My house is a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves." What did they see? Why did they run and left their money? Was it because he had muscles? Amen. No, sir. They saw a God that was blazing out of him in judgment. And they couldn't stand it. Men ran and left their money. Drove them out of the temple. So blessed be to God. We're talking about a corporate operation. A smooth operation between you and God. As a one being. You and God as one being. Moving down the streets of this city, moving through these places, moving through even hell, and hell have to bow to you because the God that blazes out of you was more than what is out there. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. So we find this is the final operation which God wants to bring out. Then what's happening now? After all, if we preach what will happen tomorrow, what happened yesterday, and we don't preach where you are now, then you won't know what to do. But God is working in all these three realms at one time in you. You are having dreams and visions. You are hearing the voice of God. I did read that about Paul. He went up into the third heaven, and at the same time he had visions and dreams after that. And God speaks to the man face to face. God used the three operations at his will. Nevertheless, the final operation of God in you is this thing inside here. Brethren, I am giving you one last word before I close this message. Never take a vision and dream, or dream I should say, or word of prophecy, unless you feel it in here that this is it, it's right. When you feel it in here, then the onus is taken off the prophet and put in here. The responsibility for your action will be in here. Amen. Let me tell you something. One night I was preaching in a certain body, and it was the last message. And at the last message, God anointed me to say, "Brethren, remember the spirit in which you have received this word. For the spirit of God which is in here tonight is testifying to your own heart whether I speak the word of life or not. When you leave here and you go outside, somebody is going to tell you something about this word that I have preached. Will you deny this that you know have experienced here tonight and agree with that person, or will you reject that person because you remember the spirit in which you received it?" Come, brethren, that's what I'm saying. You meet a man out there on the street, any old man, you just meet him and begin to talk to him, and you know the spirit that what it is saying in here. Don't deny that spirit. Never go away and reason and rationalize the feeling that you had when you were there Remember that feeling, because that is the testimony of the Christ within you. Amen. So therefore, the absolute in you is the Christ in you. He said, in these days God speaketh by his Son. I am a messenger, but don't take my word unless you get it in here. And if you can't take it, there is either something wrong with the word or with the you. And if it's wrong with you, this word is going to keep plucking at you, until one day the word gets you down on its foot. And say, okay, I you win. And that's how the word of God goes. The word of God is going to shuffle you into a position where you have to accept it. If you are really God. And therefore, that's why a messenger comes. A messenger comes to you, you can't take the message. You forget it. But at a certain moment, click, God switch you on. And you remember that message. Amen. So, this is what I'm saying. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the one inside here. You have something in here that is alive, and it picks up around you. And whatever you don't pick up, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the words that you don't pick up. God won't judge you for what you don't pick up. But when you get the thing and you are sure it was God at that moment when that preacher was preaching, you felt it, you know it, watch out. You go and deny, God's going to call you into judgment for it. Amen. For various reasons we deny the word of God, you know. Sometimes for our own selfish reasons. Sometimes a brother come and tell us something about the other person. And we deny the very word that we had received at the time. So that what you receive at the time, that's what counts. Hebrews 1:1, it said, in various times God spoke by his holy prophets in dreams and visions, but now he speaketh by his Son. It doesn't mean that he doesn't speak in dreams and visions. It doesn't mean that he doesn't speak in prophecy. But now he is speaking by his Son in you. When you hear the prophecy, it registers here. God said, let one prophesy and the others judge. Amen. So the difference of the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophet is basically this, that the Old Testament prophet was the head, was the ruler of the congregation. He was the mediator between God and man. Right? The come between. Take from God, give to man. Good. Now, Christ is the mediator between God and man. Therefore, when you have Christ in you, you have the mediator within you. Praise God. So therefore, the New Testament prophet now, what does he come for? Where is his use? He's outside there giving out words of prophecy. His words of prophecy are to confirm the word and are the mediator that is within you, that you be not deceived. So God has set within the church a confirmation of that which is within you. Amen. Don't you see what I'm saying? That which is within you is confirmed by that which is without you. And that which is without is confirmed by that which is within. So you have a two witness company, one in and one out. Praise God. Hallelujah. We close.
This is the end of message, M. 015, Dreams and Visions.